Father God, we do worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our life, Father. Father God, we just thank you today for each and every person that's here in this room and each and every person that's watching us online or will watch this program, Father. Father God, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you, Father, that each and every person here and each and every person around the world that's watching this, Father, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan. They will fulfill that purpose. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But Father, we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear, that springs forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own ability, but we come in your strength and your power and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your anointing that's here in this room, your anointing that's going through the airwaves, your anointing. And if anyone here or watching us, Father, is going through any kind of situation, whether it be physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever it might be, we thank you that the anointing of God will minister to them today, will touch their lives today, will just do something incredible in them today, Father. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Well, hope everyone's doing wonderful. We want to welcome everyone here, everybody watching us online or will watch us. You know, there are a lot of folks that don't catch us live, but later on they catch us on Facebook or Instagram, I guess not Instagram, but YouTube. Amen. Just want to give my normal announcement on, I do every Sunday, you know, don't forget about the podcast. Our last episode, we actually talked about having a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, kind of the things we talked about on Wednesday night as well. Amen. If you have your Bible or your device, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. We're going to read from the New Living Translation. I don't know. It's new and living. I guess that's why we're going to read it. A lot of times that I've read a lot of Bible stories, a lot of things from other translations, and I've been reading a lot from the New Living Translation, and so, you know, sometimes it explains a little more or you know, more modern language. All right. We're going to read this whole 22 to 33, we're going to read the whole thing in order, and then I'll go back and we'll look at everything. This happens to be Jesus walking on the water, all right? Matthew 14, 22 starts out. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell when he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Now, many of us, you know, we've heard this story probably ever since you were a little child in children's church or Sunday school about Jesus walking on the water. And, and it sounds impossible, but the Bible says that the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. So, it is interesting whenever we read this because this is the second time that we see the disciples in a boat and there are winds and waves. You know, there was another time where they were all afraid and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat and Jesus got mad. They even woke him up. So it isn't, it's kind of funny, or I don't know if funny is the word, but, it says Jesus sent them along in the boat, and then he went up to go pray, and it says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. So once again, they were in the middle of the lake, and there was winds and waves going on, and the disciples did nothing about it. You know, I started thinking about this. We should learn from our mistakes. And Jesus already taught them, hey, whenever you're in a lake and there's winds and waves, just talk to the winds and waves. But they didn't do anything about it. So, don't be stupid. I got a book by that title. You know, the thing about when Jesus speaks to us, man, just go do it. You know, a lot of times I've seen people that they were in a situation and, the Lord got them out of that situation. They get back in the same situation. They don't even know what to do. Do the same thing. You know, usually people just, I don't know, they don't get it. But here they were. They were in the middle of the boat, middle of the lake, and there are winds and waves going on. And it says about 3:00 in the morning. So this is late. Now, first of all, most people are probably sleeping at 3:00 in the morning. How many were you asleep at 3:00 in the morning last this morning? Okay, there are a few of you that were awake. I'm not sure whether I was awake at 3:00 in the morning. I got to check my sleep schedule because I might have been. No, I went to bed at 2:45 a.m., so I was asleep at 3. All right, so blame my mom. Don't blame me. My mom taught me my sleep schedule for whatever reason. I don't know why. About 3:00 in the morning, when most people are sleeping, it's pretty hard to sleep when you have winds and waves and storms and all kinds of things going on. But it says Jesus came toward them walking on the water, which is obviously not a normal thing. All right. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." It was not it wasn't a ghost. It was a Holy Ghost. All right. Just let you know. So they were terrified. Now, I don't know if they were terrified, when he was far away or whenever he got close. But I guess that when it's 3 a.m. and someone's walking on the water, you're thinking, well, am I dreaming? Or is this real? What is this? And a lot of times we read stories in the Bible and we never actually think about what if we were there? What if we were there? What would we have done? We probably would have done the same thing. We probably would have freaked out. All right, because sometimes we kind of make fun of the disciples, and thinking, these guys are crazy. Here they were. They're with Jesus all the time and they still don't even get it. Well, you know what? You're with Jesus all the time. You don't get it either. In fact, actually, you're closer to Jesus than they were. There were at times when they might be by Jesus, or there's times that they were with them, but Jesus is always with you. And most of you even admit it.
You always say, well, yeah, I'm saved. You know, Jesus dwells in my heart. Well, why don't you act like he dwells in your heart? I mean, why don't you act like it? And you know, think about, hey, you're closer to Jesus than the disciples. So, you know, if you don't learn anything else, that's pretty awesome. Because Jesus is with you all the time. Now, here they were in the middle of the storm, and they thought they saw a ghost, but, you know, it was better than Casper, the friendly ghost. It was Jesus. All right? But Jesus spoke to them all at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Now, here's something that we need to take from this. You know, whenever we're facing the storms of life and it seems like things are not going good, you know, maybe it's 3 a.m. and you can't sleep because there's so many things rolling around in your head because how am I going to make it? How am I going to get through this? I want you to remember these words that don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here, saith the Lord. You know, because sometimes we need to remember what the Lord says in the middle. See, it was in the middle of their storms that Jesus said, I was here and I am here and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you in the middle of your storm. So we need to realize who is with us when we're going through our worst times, when we're going through times that we might not know in the natural what to do. When it looks like everything is falling apart, when it looks like, you know, we're not going to make it to the other side, we should take courage because Jesus is right wherever we are. Wherever we are. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter if you don't see another soul. Doesn't matter if you're on a deserted island by yourself with a volleyball. Some of you may have seen the movie Castaway. You know, you're never alone. And if anyone want to know that, you're never alone. That was actually my first lab sermon in the evangelist class here at Rhema. That was my sermon, You're Never Alone. And actually it was taken off of the movie Home Alone. Remember that movie Home Alone? You know, and so you're never alone. You're never by yourself. He's always with you. He's with you in the good times. He's with you in the bad times. He's with you when things are falling apart, so to speak. He's with you during a pandemic. You know, he's with you during, you know, every good thing, bad thing ever happens. And see, what happens is we start focusing on things that are around us instead of focusing on Jesus Christ, the answer. And we should focus on him. But, you know, the next thing is, Peter, now notice, how many disciples are there? Anyone want to take a guess? No one even called it out. There are 12 disciples, all right? At this time, there are 12 disciples. Later on, there became 11 because one of them killed himself, all right? But during this time, in Matthew 14, there were 12 disciples. 12 disciples, all right? 12 people in a boat. Sounds like a joke, right? Anyway, 12 people are in a boat. You realize only one of the 12 said anything to Jesus? You know, and it happens to be Peter. He was the most outspoken. It said, Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. I mean, well, you can't do that. Peter can't do that. Well, but Jesus shouldn't do that, be able to do that either. So, you know what Jesus said? Yes, come. Now, at that point in time, you would think one of the other disciples said, hey, that's not fair. You know, like maybe John might say, hey, that's not fair. If Peter gets to walk on the water, I should be able to walk on the water too. But not one of the other disciples even spoke up. I think they're still trying to figure out if it's a ghost or not. But Peter was the only one that was willing to get out of his comfort zone to do something that maybe it seems like he shouldn't be able to do. But you know what? When Jesus is with you, you can do things that you never thought you could do because he's there to help you. And so Peter being the only one, you know, because see, you know, I get it. You know, some people say, well, you know, man, you can ask Jesus for that and he'll do that. Yes, the Bible says you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. And so what Peter asked is, hey, Jesus, Can I come out there and walk too? Now let's put things in perspective. Remember the waves and the wind? Jesus was not walking on a calm, lake. Because I've actually seen people, artists, draw a picture, and every time Jesus was walking on a calm lake. Anybody ever seen that? Anyone ever gone water skiing before? All right. It doesn't work to water ski when it's not calm. You know, you want to find the area of the lake, you know, where the wind's broken and it's very calm. It makes it easy. Well, you know what? Think about it. This is even more difficult than skiing, than water skiing. This is actually walking on the water. But walking on the water when it's calm is one thing. Walking on the water in the middle of the storm is completely different. And no one brings that out. I've heard this story, I don't know how many times. I've never heard anybody talking about when Jesus is with you, it doesn't matter how much storm it is, that you can do the impossible. The things that seem like there's no way to do it, you can do it. Why? Because Jesus is with you. He's leading you. He's helping you. He's guiding you. And you just have to be willing to step out. At some point in time, we got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and go do the works of Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means, you know what? If you see somebody hurting, you know, why don't you go minister to them? The Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're like, well, but that's not easy. Yeah, but you know what? If you change someone's life, they're going to maybe want to hear about your Jesus. See, many people want to talk about Jesus, but, you know, show them Jesus. Don't just talk about him. You know, actually, I think that's our next podcast, actually, is talking about doing the works of Jesus, actually. Anyway, so here they are. They're out there. You know, it says right here. So Peter went over to the side of the boat, in verse 29, and walked on the water toward Jesus. You know, we make fun of Peter sometimes because, you know, in a minute he's going to fall down. But this man walked on the water. Do you realize we only have two recorded people ever, you know, as far as I know, that walked on the water, and that's Jesus and Peter. You can make fun of them all you want. But Peter walked on the water. It says, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. See, as long as he focused in on Jesus, everything was fine. But then, you know, when he started looking at the things around about him, he began to sink. And we'll talk about that in a minute, all right? And so he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. So, you know, at least he had the intelligence that whenever he did begin to sink, instead of trying to do things himself, he at least asked for help. He at least said, hey, Lord, save me. Because there's going to be some times that you try to do things yourself and you're maybe fall down, but you know what? Jesus is always there to save you, to help you, to lead you, and to get you back up. Anyway, it goes on to say, Jesus immediately, verse 31, reached out and grabbed him, and here's what he said. You have so little faith. This man just walked on the water. This man walked on the water, and Jesus is saying, you have so little faith. The reason he has so little faith is not because what he did, walking on the water, it's because he didn't continue to trust, because he could continue to walk on the water if he would have continued to trust in Jesus. Well, if Peter had so little faith, then how little faith do you have? You're not even willing to get out of the boat. You're not even willing to get out of the boat. So, you know, it goes on to say, why did you doubt me? And, you know, I wonder sometimes if Jesus is not asking that question to you. Why are you doubting me? Why do you doubt me? Because you know what? I'm with you. I mean, why are you looking at the winds and waves? Who cares about the winds and waves? Who cares about the storm? Who cares about what's going on? It's not about what's going on in this world. It's about what's going on the inside of you. It's about who he is on the inside of you. It's about who you are in Christ Jesus. Not about who you are, but about who you are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, you become a Superman or a Superwoman. And you can walk on the water. You can do all these things. Anyway, it goes on to say is when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. That's kind of interesting. As soon as they got back in the boat, there was no more wind, no more waves. You know, so moral of the story is get Jesus in your boat. You know, because the winds and waves don't bother Jesus. Now, they might bother you, but they don't bother him. You know, so you're going to have to be able to overlook the outside when you know who's inside you. Forget about the outside and look to the inside, because I'm here to tell you that, you know what? This is not the last pandemic we'll ever have. This is not the last bad thing we'll ever have. I mean, the world is not going to get better. If you read the Bible, it doesn't say the world is going to get better and better, and then I'm going to come. It says the world's going to get worse and worse. So you're going to have to decide, hey, there are going to be storms. Some storms may affect me. Some storms may not affect me. But the thing about it is I know what to do when I'm facing a storm. And some people are going to say, well, that seems impossible that you're going to be able to get through this, you know, when nobody else seems able. Well, thank God that I serve the God of the impossible. Thank God that Jesus Christ, the greater one, lives on the inside of me. See, I know who I am. I know what's happened. Anyway, it says, then the disciples worshiped him and says, you really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Well, no duh. Haven't they figured that out by now? I mean, we're in Matthew 14. Surely some chapters ago, they would have figured out that he's really the Son of God. I mean, so I'm wondering, were there some of the disciples that were still wondering whether he was the Son of God? In fact, if we go back, you know, before they even got in the boat, do you realize that's when Jesus fed the 5,000? I mean, if they didn't catch it by then, these guys are dense. But here's the thing is I want to know, do you really know that the Son of God, the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you? Because I don't think that you realize that, because you're kind of acting like the disciples. I mean, he really is the Son of God. No, the Bible says, ask what you will and it shall be done. You know, yeah, but there's storms. Yeah, but there's inflation. Yeah, but there's, you know, there's this and that. Well, quit talking about all the buts and just focus in on Jesus, you know, because there are too many times that, you know, you're like Peter says, you know, verse 29 says, so when Peter went outside the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified. See, before the but happened, he was doing okay. What happens is that our mind, our natural mind tries to tell us, we can't do that. That's impossible. Yeah, but we have plenty of scriptures that talks about that we can. Not because you can, because he can through you. And so you can do it. You know, because he is with you in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the waves, no matter where it is. And you know what? He's just walking there calmly saying, you know what? Just call on me. Just call on me. And I'll be there. I'll help you navigate, and I'll help you walk through things that you thought you never could walk through. If you're just willing to stand up and get out of your comfort zone, get out of your boat and just follow me. Because, see, once again, remember how many disciples there were? 12, all right? I mean, maybe we need to go back to basic Sunday school stuff, because you guys even hesitated the second time even saying there are 12 disciples. I mean, did anybody ever learn that there were 12 disciples a long time ago? You know, okay, I mean, I only got like 10% of people raise their hand. Let me ask another question. How many here are graduates of Rhema Bible Training College? I mean, what's Doug Jones teaching you in his class? I mean, you know. So it is interesting because there are a lot of Rhema graduates here, and most of them didn't even know there were 12 disciples. Once again, for you, you know, here and you at home, there were 12 disciples, all right? So one disciple steps out of the boat. How many disciples are left in the boat? 11 disciples are left in the boat. All right, 11 other guys were afraid to step out of the boat, you know, and I don't know how many times you read the story and everyone's like, oh, ha, ha, Peter, you know, almost drowned. Yeah, but Peter walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. 11 other guys, you know, sit on their rear end in the boat and watch this thing happen. See, folks, I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. Because there are a lot of people that are sitting in the boat saying, you know what? Man, I know Jesus is good, and I know he can do something, but I'm going to sit here in my storm in this little boat, and, you know, and I'm going to just wonder. But if you're willing to step out of the boat, he's going to take care of you. Because notice that Peter did not drown. Even whenever he began to unfocus on Jesus, he didn't drown because Jesus still picked him up. He picked him up. Now, you know, something that's interesting, people say, well, man, I could never do that. I can't walk on the water. And I'm not telling you to go home today, find a swimming pool, and start walking, okay? But John 14:12 says this, I tell you the truth, Jesus talking, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, the reason that you can do greater works is not because you're special. It's because he went to the Father and the greater one is on the inside of you. And then my mom's favorite scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What does that mean? That Christ gives me the strength to walk on the water. Christ gives me the strength to endure the storm. Christ gives me, you know, see, some people think it's just physical strength, but no, it's mental strength as well. I mean, do you realize a game like golf, all right, I'm not going to even ask how many played golf because I'm sure it's like three of you, but probably a lot of you probably played golf or tried to play golf, you know. Anyway, but golf is not just physical, it's way mental. You know, it's a very mental game. And the thing, life is a mental game. It's not just physical. See, if it's physical, we probably could do better, but it's mental. Things get in your head. And that's what happened to Peter. Things begin to get in his head as he begin to look at the waves. And then it becomes like, man, I really can't do this. So I actually have 8 points. You know, I know I'm not going to go long, but 8 different things that we can learn from this experience. I kind of talked a little bit about this already. It says right here, number one, look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. So whenever you're in the middle of your storm, look for Jesus. See, they were in the middle of their storm and they looked out and they saw Jesus. Well, the Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. So whenever you reach a point where you think you're going through a storm or it feels like you're going through a storm, then you need to, first of all, look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus, you keep on looking to Jesus and focusing on him because you're not going to do this by yourself. I mean, the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. You're not going to do this by yourself. You only have one hope, and that's Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, you are going to make it. I mean, I don't know how many times people, you know, they tell me about their problem or whatever, and my answer is always like, well, you are going to make it. You're going to make it. And they're like, well, was that a word from the Lord? Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I mean, actually, I had a situation where I had a gentleman that told me he assumed that there was a founding pastor of a church, and this founding pastor retired from the church, brought on his associate, a Rhema graduate. And everyone loved the associate whenever he was the associate, but when he became the pastor, he happened to be younger than some of the people going to the church, and some of the people didn't really like that he was, and some of the people left the church. And so he came to Winter Bible Seminar dejected, because I had actually spoke for him at a camp meeting, and it was at that very camp meeting, they I landed on a Tuesday and got there Wednesday for the Wednesday night service. It was all week thing. As soon as I walked in the sanctuary, one of the other ministers who was there at the camp meeting says, "Hey, Craig, just want to tell you that last night didn't go real well." I'm like, "Well, what happened?" He says, "Well, the pastor announced he was stepping down, and the church didn't really like it a whole lot." And so it was like a lot of, so I asked this pastor, how are things going? He goes, and he began to tell me all the things that were not good. And he said that, you know, he had let go of some of the staff and things. And he was actually the only one now on payroll. And, you know, I looked at him and said, "It's going to be okay." Now, it wasn't "thus saith the Lord, it's going to be okay." It's "thus saith the Bible, it's going to be okay." That was my thought. I'm here to tell you is he... testimony, he told me that he stood on the words that I gave him, like it was prophetic words. I didn't get anything prophetically. I just told him it's going to be okay. Moral of the story is that that year, there's some things that happened, and by the end of the year, actually about 6 months later after this happened, they were able to hire back all the staff. They paid the church off, and God worked miraculously in that church because he focused in on me telling him it's going to be okay. He said, every day I woke up, you know, and I would begin to think of, you know, my mind would go crazy, and I said, "No, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." Well, I'm here to tell you, I didn't get any special word from the Lord. It was what the Bible says. It's going to be okay. I don't care what's going on. It's going to be okay as long as you focus in on Jesus. As long as you focus in on him. Anyway, it says, although a storm surrounded him, Peter looked to Jesus. The only problem was that he stopped looking at Jesus. So here's the principle, it's clear. Especially when life is throwing you a storm, look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. And, you know, the next thing is that when Jesus commands you, obey him. Do you realize, Peter, first of all, I mean, don't ask a question that you don't want the answer for. It says that, "Jesus, if it's you, can I come out there and walk on the water?" And Jesus told him to come. Even though it made no sense, Peter did what Jesus said. He did what Jesus said, even though it makes no sense. And there's going to be times in your life, you know, where maybe that you just feel the Lord wants you to make a decision that doesn't make physical sense, sometimes not even financial sense. I know people that's taken a job that pays less than the job they've had before. But they knew it was the right place at the right time. And God blessed them for it. You know, anyway, it says, this is what obedience looks like. Doing what Jesus says. It doesn't matter that it seems impossible. It doesn't matter that it seems like there is no way, because here it is, you're focusing in on Jesus. Now, see, something else is we don't need to let ourselves read these things. We need to actually put ourselves in the place of Peter. So we need to be a Peter. All right? Because sometimes we read all about Peter and forget about us. We need to focus in on Jesus. We need to step out of our boat. We need to step out of our comfort zone. You know, as long as you're in your comfort zone, probably not much is happening. And you know, I want us to step out of our comfort. If you can't do anything else, invite people to church. I mean, if you don't know how to talk about how good God is, please invite him to church and we'll talk about how good God is and how he wants to change your life. You know, we have a great opportunity. We're going to be doing more things. You know, it's a whole lot easier to get people to come to church to a fellowship than it is to get people to come sit in the pew sometimes. You know, but you know, it's sometimes people, well, I don't want to walk into church, you know, but here's a good thing. You know, most people here in Broken Arrow, Tulsa area probably have been in our park before to see the Christmas lights. So you've done it before. Why wouldn't you do it again? Just go in the park. You know, and plus, I mean, you know, you get free water, free food, and you know, there's not very many opportunities to buy funnel cakes except when the state fair's going on. So, well, also during the Christmas lights. So it's an opportunity to buy a funnel cake. I know that sounds really weird, and for some of you health conscious people, it's not good for you, but you go buy your funnel cake and you eat it. All right, and I'll watch you. All right. All right, next thing I want to say is faith is simply taking the next step. It's taking the next step, one step at a time. See, a lot of people, they want to know the result before they take the step. They want to know the answer. Well, Lord, I'm willing to take five steps if you give me your five-step plan. No, a lot of times, it's only one step at a time. One step at a time. You know, so, you know, Peter took one step to get out of the boat and then one step on the water. And Peter was just doing fine when he was focusing on Jesus. You know, he was taking his step, looking at Jesus, taking his step, looking at Jesus. And then immediately it says he started looking at the winds and waves. See, when you're not looking forward, it's hard to walk forward when you're looking this way. You know, and I don't know if any of you have ever played athletics, you know, especially the game of football. And I don't know how many times that I've seen a running back or maybe a punt returner or kickoff returner, and they're like running this way and that way and this way and that way, sometimes even backwards, through. And majority of the time, not all the time, but majority of the time, they actually end up losing yardage. Because they're not focusing on the goal line. They're not running toward the finish line. Same way in track. I know Dad talks about it many times. You'll see the person that's leading, and they'll just kind of glance over their shoulder. Well, that one glance took their focus away and might have cost them the race. Quit glancing. Who cares about who's beside you? Who cares about who's behind you? Who cares about winds and waves? Who cares about storms? Who cares about Dr. Fauci? I mean, the guy can't make up his mind anyway. And you know what? Here's something else. You know what? As a Christian, we need to be praying for Dr. Fauci. He probably needs Jesus. He probably needs Jesus even more after the people read his emails, all right? So be praying for the guy, you know, that Jesus will minister to him. Because sometimes, you know, we make fun of somebody or we, you know, but they're a real person and they have real needs and Jesus loves them too. Amen. But I don't care about what's going on. I don't care about what they say the economy's doing or it's not doing. I don't care about anything. I don't care that oil prices are going up. It doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus is with you. He's helping you. And if you'll focus in on him and not what all this other stuff is going on. See, that's one thing that there's so much distraction going on that you can't focus in on Jesus. I mean, you know, don't be distracted. In fact, I just wonder, I mean, I know this is probably not good to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. There are a lot of churches, I'm not sure if they even focus in on Jesus whenever they minister. They're focusing on all the distraction. It's not about distraction, it's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. In fact, Paul said, that's all I preach. That's all I preach. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't care about all the mess. It doesn't matter because Jesus is with you and he'll get you through whatever situation if you're willing to step out, if you're willing to take a step, one step at a time, focused in on Jesus. Laser focused. It's not about winds and waves because you know what? The winds and waves were happening even before he got out of the boat. So, you know, no, Doug, you knew there were winds and waves. Who cares? And I'm here to tell you, there's going to be winds and waves in your life too. There's going to be storms in your life. Because so many preachers, they almost seem like, you know what? You're never going to have any bad things because you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, that's not even true. That's not true. And because of that mentality, we don't know what to do, and we start freaking out when things about us, you know, are falling apart. I mean, I've even, you know, seen people that, go out and they start a church and they're like, man, everything I do, it feels like that I have opposition against me. It seems like I can't do anything. Well, you think the devil wants you to have a church? You think the devil wants you to succeed? Obviously not. Do you realize that, I read it all the time, John 10:10, New Living Translation says, the thief's purpose, his purpose in life is to steal, kill, and destroy you. Those aren't good things. But if you focus in on Jesus' purpose in life, is that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or have a great life, focus in on Jesus and step one step at a time. All right? Faith unleashes the supernatural. Peter did not experience the supernatural power of God until he jumped out of the boat. He jumped out of the boat. He stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. Why did he walk on water? Because he stepped out of the boat. And I'm here to tell you, but I was praying last night, and the Lord was saying, there's so many of us right here that need to just get out of the boat. We need to get out of our comfort zone. And, you know, but because I do believe we're living the last days. I do believe that it's time to tell people about Jesus. I believe that there's winds and waves going on, and there's a lot of people that are afraid of the winds and waves, but you have something that's greater than the winds and waves. And when you see people hurting, step out of your boat, step out of your comfort zone, and do something about it. On top of being a doer of the word, well, what it says, you know what? Go into all the world and preach the good news. What's the good news? The good news is, no matter what the bad news you might see on all these fake news channels, I got better news. That Jesus Christ is with you, he'll help you, and he'll get you through all the mess. If you'll focus in on him. All right? Something else we need to know is that fear will sink us. And you know, fear has been the theme of the, not just America, but the entire world over the last year and a half. It's about fear, it's about fear, it's about fear, it's about fear, it's about fear. And you know what? How many times do we read in the word, fear not, for I am with you. I am with you. There is nothing to be afraid about. Yeah, but this, and that, no, there's no buts here. See Peter, when he had those buts, he fell. So you need to decide, I'm focusing on Jesus and I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid, you know, because there's other things that are going to happen. It doesn't matter. Do not be afraid. Fear will sink you. See, when Peter had faith, he walked on the water. When he began to fear, he began to sink. So I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you have faith today. If you get fear tomorrow, you're going to start sinking. Because a lot of people, what happens, they step out in faith and they're doing great, and all of a sudden, hey, look at me. And then they're like, oh, there's storms. And then they freak out. You know, don't freak out. But I'm here to tell you, even when you do freak out, even when you do mess up, even when you start looking at the sea and the storms and all that kind of thing, Jesus is there to save you if you'll just call upon his name. Just like Peter did, said, Jesus, help me. And he's going to help you. Even though you were not walking in faith. See, what happened is, whenever Jesus helped me, do you realize when he said those words, he began to focus once again on Jesus. And Jesus reached out his helping hand. And he'll reach out his helping hand to you. Because see, there's sometimes that we step out in faith and we're walking along the water and everything, you know, we're doing what we need to do in the middle of the storm. And there's sometimes we step out in faith and then we get into fear. And Jesus said, okay, I know you need a little help. I'm going to grab your hand and I'm going to lead you on the water. You know, so it really depends on where you're at. You know, he might need to lead you or you, the reason he has to lead you because you have little faith. He wants us to get to the point where we don't have to reach out for his hand because we can go and you'll be a witness for him because he's with us already. But if he needs to reach his hand out, he'll reach his hand out and help you through the situation. But he wants you to learn next time, you don't need my hand. Do you know whenever have a little child, when they're learning to walk, you know, usually a lot of times they'll grab our fingers, you know, and they'll walk holding your hand. But eventually they get to the point they're able to walk by themselves. Get to that point. And don't wait till you're 30 years old to get to that point. I mean, you know, it would look pretty funny if we had a 30-year-old, you know, guy, and it depends on how it could be taller than me, and I'm over here holding their hand. Okay, you can do it. You can walk. You can walk. He knew I said, well, that sounds crazy. Well, that's what some of our Christians are doing. They're needing their handhold. You know, and I guess Dad just preached a message, I want to hold your hand, right? That was He still wants to hold your hand. All right. Number six, Jesus saves you from many things. Number seven, a little faith is better than no faith. What do you mean? You know, he says, you know, the Lord spoke of Peter's little faith. That means he was capable of even greater sustained faith, but the guys in the boat had no faith. They had no faith. They were dry boat sitters. But Peter at least had a little faith. And his little faith at least allowed him to walk on the water for a short time. Now he did, and you know, eventually fail. But I mean, come on. I mean, just think about what if that was you? What if you were being a Peter? You probably would have started looking left and right before he did. So, you know, what we need to do is laser focus in on Jesus because he's focused in on you. He's right there with you, helping you every time. The last thing I want to say is that you can choose to worry or to worship. You know, in an instant, the men went from worrying about their circumstances to worshiping Christ after Jesus got in their boat. They began to worship him, but before they were all worried. You know, actually, Dad has a book out there, How to Live Worry-Free. And we can live worry-free because the greater one lives inside of you. And just be willing to step out. Be willing to get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to talk to somebody. Be willing to not just, I mean, I believe that we should be like Brother Hagin would say, is that he would pray every single morning that God will make him a blessing to somebody. He said he never prayed one time that God would bless him. He always prayed, God, make me a blessing to somebody. There are people in this world right here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, that are going through a tough time, that are hurting, that have been full of fear, that you know, they don't really know what to do. They don't have the, I mean, well, sometimes they do have the answer. Sometimes they know Jesus, but they're like I was talking about on Wednesday night. They got that boarding pass and they're ready to go to heaven, but they don't know how to experience Jesus. And so, man, just be a light. Just step out. Just, you know, be a doer of the word. I mean, step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your comfort zone. You know, and there's going to be times that you just feel led that you need to say something. I mean, there's been times I've been in a store, I don't even know why, I've said something to somebody, and it came to find out that they were having a tough day. And just being nice to them actually changed their whole attitude in life. You know, and a lot of times people, I've heard, one person said, well, why are you just being so nice to me? Well, because Jesus loves you. You know, I know sometimes that sounds like, well, what do you mean Jesus loves me? I mean, yes, I'm not in children's church. No, he really does love you. It's more than a song. It's an action. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. And Father God, we just thank you that you'll help us learn to step out of the boat. Learn to get out of our comfort zone. Learn to focus in on you. We thank you, Father, that you'll lead us and you'll guide us. And we thank you that each and every day you'll send someone across our path that we can minister to. But Father God, we thank you with heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's anyone here in this building today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you that they won't leave this place without knowing him. If you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I've never been saved in my life, and I want to be saved this morning because I'm not walking with Jesus, but I want to. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with Jesus, but I've turned my back. I went away. I want to rededicate my life to him today. Or maybe you say, Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I don't know. Well, my grandfather talked about having a know-so experience, and you can know tonight or today. Amen. If you're here on any one of those three invitations, just lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you want to be saved, if you've never been saved, or if you don't know whether you've been saved or not, or if you want to rededicate yourself to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium right now. Amen. I don't see anyone left hand. Is there anyone here that says, Craig, I know I'm saved, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, Tad, we talked about that we had 80 students there at youth camp filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Maybe if you never got that, you said, I don't even know what that is. I tell you what, man, don't knock it until you try it. I mean, it's extra endowment from power from on high. It's awesome. Anyone here said, Craig, I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and I want to be filled this morning. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I see their hand right there. Anybody else? I've never been filled for the Holy Ghost and I want to. Lift your hand across this auditorium. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you lifted your hand for salvation, rededication to the Holy Ghost, I want you to come down here. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Bought with
Amen.
The precious blood of Jesus.
Anybody else?
Christ will come.
Anybody else wants to come down?
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the Amen. Precious
Amen. I know you came down for the flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it's a gift, just like salvation is a gift. It belongs to you. And I'm going to pray with you right here really quick, really fast. And we're going to take you to a special place. And they're going to pray with you. And they're going to make sure you get the gift that God wants you to have. Amen. What's your name?
Joni.
Father God, we thank you for Joni. We thank you for her life. And Father, we just thank you right now for ministering to her like never before. We thank you, Father, for filling her up, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, for things she shall do. Thank you, Father, that you'll help Joni step out of that boat. Help her fulfill what God has called her to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Joni, when you go, this is Pastor Greg and his wife, Christy. Go with them to a special place, and they're going to make sure you got what you came for. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. You know, and if it's all for one person to come down and get filled with the Holy Ghost and, you know, and utterly learn to step out of the boat, it's all worth it. Amen? Amen. Well, God's a good God, and we're going to have a great time tonight. Now, remember, it starts at 7 p.m. and not 6 p.m. You know, and some of the people, maybe you invite them and say, well, it's hot. Well, you get free water. All right? So, you know, free water, free popcorn. You know, the thing about it is once you eat the free popcorn, you're going to want the free water to wash the free popcorn down. All right. And there'll be other things for sale, including funnel cakes. Now, once again, I do want to tell you, it takes time. You know, nobody wants a cold funnel cake. I mean, how many like cold funnel cakes? All right. You know, less people like cold funnel cakes than they know how many disciples we have. Anyway, so it takes a little bit of time. So lines get a little long. Amen. Before we go to the doors, I want to, you know, say a special, you know, thank you to all your first-time visitors. The Connection team is in the aisle. We have a gift we want to give you. And if you'll just follow them to go to the North Lobby, we'll give you that gift. Amen? Amen. So this week, hey, when you have an opportunity, step out of the boat. Step out of your comfort zone and do what God wants you to do. Amen. Well, I'll be at the west door. Dad and Mom at the south door, Tad and Amanda at the east door, and Brother Bill Ray's at the north door. God bless you guys. We'll see you tonight.